You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. And we've got yet another great program for you today, folks. Rick Robinson, VP of Product Development at AARP, is with us to talk about AARP's Age Tech Collaborative and how it is leading a global mission to improve people's lives as they age. But before we get to him, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I'm joined in the studio with my partner in crime, co-conspirator, what else can I call you here, Jason, our esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I feel like I align more with co-conspirator than esteemed production engineer.
Co-conspirator. Wow, that sounds very... I got to think about that a little bit, Jason. I'm suddenly seeing you with a ski mask on now in my mind. Though I'm looking at you through this glass panel here. Not our usual studio space. Every now and then, those of you who listen to the show know, every now and then, Jason and I have to go. We can't be in our normal studio space here. We have to be in this larger, more impressive looking, but less functional studio room here where we are separated by glass like we are in a penitentiary.
But it is in some forms, I feel like you're safer, but in some forms, it is a little bit worrisome.
Yeah, I hear you there. And we can't see our guests on Zoom who are joining us via Zoom, Rick Robinson. Before we get to him, Jason, just want to mention a couple of things. Number one, good to see you. I am genuinely happy to be here today, not only because it's a beautiful weather, and you know I'm very much, I love my sunshine and heat. But I have been finding myself a little bit bored these days in the mornings. And that, to me, is significant because I'm a morning person. I have my routine in the morning. I like to get up. I have my first of many cups of coffee, open up the blinds, thank God for the day, and get on, check my email, make sure there are no fires I need to put out with my staff, and get right on and see what's going on in the world. And, you go through your news feed, your social media, your YouTube, and I'm finding, I think I'm getting bored because I'm seeing the same stuff over and over again. You know, you ever find that, you get on, you're like, okay, you're seeing certain stuff recommended for you by the platform based upon your viewing history, right? Your consumption history. And that's all fine and good on one hand because you're seeing stuff that you're interested in. You don't have to root through stuff you're not interested in to find the good stuff. It's all right there for you. But it's got a way of compartmentalizing you, of not exposing you to other things that you might be interested in or should be exploring. And one of the results of that certainly is boredom. And so I've been finding myself a little bit in a funk lately where I'm going, man, I need to broaden my horizons a little bit and step outside of the norm here because I like these platforms. I look, for example, YouTube. That's probably the first feed that I check in the morning just to see what's on there because there's a wide range of stuff and I'm a visual guy. And I'm like, man, I'm seeing the same types of things that are there. And again, it's good because it's stuff that I'm very likely to be interested in, but I'm overwhelmed with choices. And Jason, I know I'm a little bit older than you, but I remember my family before we had cable TV, when channels were from 2 to 13, and a couple of those channels didn't work. And so, man, you got, 11 choices there? You're going to find something you're interested in, or you're going to pretend to be interested if you want to watch TV that day. And, then when we got cable, we had 37 channels, and it was like, whoa, we can not only watch what's going on right now, we can watch reruns of Dennis the Menace on Nickelodeon, all this other stuff. Now we are seeing anything we want on demand without having to wait. And it's just too much. And I was talking to an AARP volunteer recently who said to me that he now finding himself, he logs into Netflix and Amazon under his wife's profile just so he can get some different choices. Because everything he's seeing, it's like, okay, yes, I'm interested in all 1,000 things I'm seeing here, and I cannot make a choice. So you need like everything else in life, your choice in these things is relative, and you got to be able to distinguish what you like versus what you don't like. And if you have a million things you do like, it's hard to make a choice. Anyway, I'm getting a little too far down this rabbit hole here. The detriments to this, I think, Jason, obviously not are just boredom, but also being in a bubble, you know. There's some subscriber service that's available now, and I see their advertising line is, get the news that you want to hear. And just think about that for a second. Not get the news that you need to hear, get the news that's going to give you the best picture of what's going on in the world and in your community. Get the news that you want to hear. In other words, you want to keep in that bubble? Great. We're going to give you all that oxygen inside your bubble and nothing outside of it. And that to me is really, really troublesome, Jason, because, you know, not only are we putting ourselves into these bubbles, but, you know, we're not challenging ourselves. We're not challenging how we look at the world. We're not challenging political views, other perspectives that are there. We're not giving our brain the opportunity to learn and to problem solve, you know. AI, I think, is only going to compound this as we go on too, because AI, for all of its, you know, great opportunities it's going to give us, also is giving us this, you know, lack of need to use our brains. I recently was on vacation, Jason. I rented a car and it did not have a backup camera. And my first response, hate to admit this, I've been, you know, driving for decades now without a backup camera, was, oh my God, I don't have a backup camera. What am I going to do, Jason? use your rear view mirror, man. Turn around and look out the window, you know? And so we are with GPS and with Google and all this other type of stuff, right? So our problem-solving skills are so important for us for a number of reasons. Our happiness is rooted in problem-solving. You know, we as a species find happiness and satisfaction in solving problems. And also, as older adults, that becomes so important. One of the number one reasons why people go to AARP.org is for our brain games, for brain health, so they can, you know, retain that mental sharpness and acuity that they need as they get older. And these types of things, these bubbles, really are part of the current that's working against that. And so I just wanted to share that, just because, you know, it's a revelation that I've been seeing more and more lately, and seeing it, you know, one way expressed as boredom, but in the other is really something that's important that we all need to address. Now, speaking of thinking outside of the box, Jason, and expanding horizons and problem solving, I'm really excited to have Rick Robinson with us from AARP. He leads something called the Age Tech Collaborative, which, as he's going to explain, is something that is very much needed to help us address some of the issues that are out there, tap into some of the minds that are out there working to make life better for people in different ways. Rick, thanks so much for being with us. Welcome to AARP Without Limits.
Mike, thanks for having me. Jason, hello.
Rick, our listeners hear a lot of new terms here on the show, and age tech is likely one of the many that they haven't heard before. So let's start there. What is age tech, and why is it important for people to know about?
Absolutely. Age tech is a bit of a new term. You can imagine it involves aging and technology. So we think of it as sitting at the intersection of longevity and technology. So AgeTech represents a growing category of technology solutions. These are products and services. They're designed to meet the needs of the world's aging population. Particularly, our focus is in the U.S., but we also work with companies all over the world. So these, again, include products, services, experiences that aim to make the process of aging safer and more fulfilling, from health tech, mobility aids to artificial intelligence, there's that AI, sorry about that, Mike, Augmented reality, and even robotics. So the opportunity in this space for businesses and for startups and enterprises is huge. People over 50 in the U.S. currently generate around $8.3 trillion in economic activity every year. And this is going to grow to $28 trillion in 2050. Now, that's not too far away. Also, in 10 years, only 10 years from now, people over 65 will outnumber people under 18. Your audience may know some of these stats, but a lot of folks don't. So part of our goal here is to educate the broader world, if you will, including enterprises and startups and investors, that this is a giant market that is looking for new products and services that meet their needs in the way that they want them. So there's a tremendous need for new products and solutions for older adults. And we're here to help find them, source them, incubate them, and push them out into the world.
And Rick, we're going to go to a commercial break in about a minute, so I don't want to get into the AgeTech Collaborative just yet. But just, you know, we've been hearing so much about how we're like on this wave now with technology, right? Where it seems like the growth of our capacity, like with high tech and all these types of things, is exponentially growing faster and faster, like at a faster, like the rate yesterday is slower than the rate today. Do you share that view? And is that true in this age tech space?
I've been in technology for since like, I don't know, mid-90s, when I was covering the advent of the internet, pre-internet and then post-internet, and I worked at AOL for 10 years. It always seemed like we were moving, as we used to say, at the speed of the internet. So I think since in the past 30 years, it always feels like things are moving incredibly fast. How do we keep up? Now, there have been hiccups along the way. So, you know, some of the listeners may be aware of things like Bitcoin and maybe the term Web3 and other technologies that seemed to be moving really quickly, and suddenly they dissipated. And that's pretty typical. There are cycles in technology where things kind of thrust to the fore and then kind of fade away. But then there are overarching things like artificial intelligence that's been around for quite a while. But suddenly in the last few years, there's been incredible advancements. And when that happens, lots of other entrepreneurs jump on that and try to take advantage of this new technology to create new splinter products based on that technology. And that creates a lot of excitement in media. And therefore, that media ends up on social media. And so listeners probably feel like they get bombarded with stories and good and bad about it. For example, AI and other kinds of technology. And it just can feel overwhelming. So part of what we try to do at AARP is weed through that and surface to the top the stuff you really need to know, clarify in a way that is clear. And, you know, makes it easy to understand. And in the AgeTech Collaborative, we try to do the same. Take companies that are taking this really leading edge technology and creating products that are accessible, understandable, and where people can see the benefit.
Wow, that's very, very well put, and it all makes a lot of sense. We're going to dig deeper into the AgeTech Collaborative after this commercial break. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Rick Robinson. He is the VP and General Manager of AARP's AgeTech Collaborative. And we've been talking about technology and sort of the pace of things and how AARP is stepping into that space to kind of weed through the confusing elements and share with AARP members and the 50 plus what are the things they really need to know. I want to take a deeper dive, Rick, into the AgeTech Collaborative. Can you just explain to our audience what exactly is it, what's the need for it, and what exactly does it do in this AgeTech space?
Absolutely. The AgeTech Collaborative from AARP is something we launched about 2.5 years ago. It's a unique online platform and ecosystem bringing together over 500 now. We've got over 500 leaders in the longevity space. And these include startup companies, investors, VCs, enterprises, that means big companies, big brands that you probably know, and testbed organizations. And these are, say, hospitals who are willing to take startups who are in the collaborative and allow them to try their products with their audience. And this is all with the goal to champion meaningful advances to make aging easier for everyone. So we think ARP's decades of exclusive longevity insights, the breakthrough collaborative ecosystem that we developed, and our community of innovators positions a collaborative to lead the future of age tech. And just to be a little bit more specific, we essentially source and incubate startup companies. So these are, you know, small, early stage companies trying to solve problems or meet the needs of older adults that aren't currently being met or are not being met in a modern way. And then we help them find funding, industry connections, business partners. And then we also bring in enterprises, like I mentioned before, these big brands, big companies, and investors who are looking for early stage companies to invest in with the hope that there'll be some kind of big, you know, they'll go public or get sold or that kind of thing. We bring them together with the startups on our platform, which is an online destination, in hopes that they'll advance this new technology for older adults. So it's an online destination where all these people come together in a community to help one another. We also do a lot of things in person, like we do some big events. We'll show up, the HTEC Collaborative will, and all those of us on my team will be at a booth at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which is the biggest in the world around technology. We have a giant booth where we bring our startups. We have a lot of programming, so people passing by can see for themselves all this great new tech that's available for consumers that they likely had no idea existed. So we're trying to find great new solutions and then push them out into the world for consumers to take advantage of it. And like I said, we do this on the platform. We do this in person at events. And we do that at our own events throughout the year. So that's kind of what we're doing.
That's really fantastic because there's so much going on. And it's not just with technology we see, but in the work that we do, ARP does, you know, we work with communities, say, unlivable communities, and we see all these different yep. great stuff going on sort of episodically. And you're like, wow, we need to be a convener to help connect people and, you know, direct them to resources and let them be able to network, essentially learn from each other, build off of each other, create some momentum towards a common goal that, that benefits everybody. So doing it in this space makes so much sense, and I'm glad we're doing that. What are the, Rick, what are some examples of some of the more exciting innovations or trends that are going on in the age tech space right now?
Well, you know, we focus and care a lot about trying to solve the loneliness epidemic and the caregiver crisis. Those are two major areas where we look for technology and other non-technology solutions that startups are creating to address. So that has us engaging with startups using things like, again, artificial intelligence, modern caregiving, robotics. We focus also on things like women's health, smart living, creating, you know, technology to make smart homes, assistive technology, financial tech, fintech, in other words, and products that that help with social connections. So those are some of the areas that are particularly interesting to us.
Right. So North Carolina, of course, is home to the Research Triangle, which we are here based, WPTF. And we've got, you know, major research universities here, a number of high-tech companies. Quick question, what members of the collaborative happen to be here in North Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually have almost half a dozen in North Carolina. We got one called Care Yaya in Durham. And this is a tech startup that's focusing on kind of enhancing care delivery. It's a way for you to engage with essentially college students to provide care in your home. Another is called Jigsadio. They're based in Raleigh. This is sort of a kind of a novel multi-sensory platform designed for those with memory loss. So think of it as a smart puzzle where you're taking physical puzzle pieces and putting them into a pad And the images, the puzzle pieces light up. And when you make a connection, when you complete images, a story will be read out to you verbally. So it's really kind of an interesting multi-sensory experience. It's very helpful for people with memory conditions. Another is called Sage Stream, and they're in Charlotte. And Sage Stream is creating something really interesting. It's an interactive music video streaming platform. So essentially, they go out and they find artists, all different kinds of artists, whether it's rock musicians or opera. And these folks put on live performances, and you can interact with them and ask them to play this or play that or comment on it. And this has been really, really stimulating, particularly in long-term care residences where people get together and try to, you know, have communal experiences. So SageStream is really doing something interesting in that space. Those are just a few in North Carolina.
Great, great examples and a good range there too, Rick. Thank you. In the last minute we've got here, obviously here in the Research Triangle, we've got lots of startups and big names like IBM and SAS, but we do share this program statewide. So for any organization statewide or even beyond who are listening to this right now, what can you quickly tell us about how they can find more information and the application process to become part of the collaborative?
Thanks for the opportunity to do that. Simply go to agetechcollaborative.org. And there's a place, there's a big button there that allows you to apply. If you're a startup, you can go through our application process. If you're not a startup, but you're a big company or an investor and you want to be part of the collaborative, there's also a simple application form. You fill it out, we get back to you right away, and then we're off to the races. So we encourage everybody to go to agetechcollaborative.org and apply.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Rick Robinson, again, VP and General Manager of ARP's AgeTech Collaborative. Thank you for being with us so much. This is great information. We'll have to have you back on the program down the road because, again, we're based here in the Research Triangle. We've got a lot of organizations, a lot of startups, and we want to make sure that we do our part here, ARP North Carolina, to spread the word. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening, folks. We are out of time this week. This has been AARP Without Limits. Thank you all for being with us. We'll see you next time.